I was just, I got, Bizarre and Ziegler and the boys working a little on this, latest Dean thing. What's your judgment on the thing?
I haven't seen it, Mr. President. I'm up in New York and we had a, wedding reception that we went to last night and, rehearsal dinner rather, and I haven't even gotten the news.
Well, I'll tell you, it isn't, that important. It was just that it's basically a, the typical kind of crap in the New York Times and the Washington Post have a story from the, they say from the Senate Committee investigators and from the U.S. prosecutor that Dean is claiming that he talked to the president 30 or 40 times between January and April and that the president was aware of some aspects of the cover-up in that period of time. He says he has no documentary evidence, but that he, words to that effect. In other words, the White House, of course, Ziegler put out a, our people put out a strong, not rebuke, not to Dean, but to them for doing it. But, you know, it's really so difficult to handle this sort of a thing, Chuck, due to the fact that, goddammit, you know, the only one that can really answer it is me.
Yeah, of course, also you can't prove the negative. You see, you've got the situation where someone could say, well, I told the president this. And
yeah, well, the point is, we do have some facts that are of interest. The first time that Dean ever saw me alone, he didn't see me alone, but he came in February, this was February the 27th,
right,
with Dick Moore. And from February 27th until about March the 15th, when I had my press conference, the conversations were almost totally about executive privilege, you know.
Yep, that's right.
You remember?
We heard March 12th was the day that you put out that order.
The order on the...
That's right.
And
John was working on that because he called to get my advice on it.
You remember the thing on that?
Sure.
That's what that was all about. It had nothing to do with his other stuff. So what he of course I think is rather desperately trying to do is to pick up sort of make himself the hero of the libs and attempting to expose the president as a liar and all that sort of thing. But anyway, I don't be downhearted about it.
No, yeah. Don't you, sir? But I think it makes it all the more imperative that I do the Howard Smith, and I'm
sure
do an exclusive interview with the New York Times.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, when will you do that?
I'm going to start tomorrow morning. I've got to time them so that I don't I don't take the wind out of the sails of one or the other. But I hope to get them both out on Tuesday or. Hope to get them both out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Senate committee has Sally Harmony, Liddy's secretary, and they're going to start this peeling of the onion. They're going to start little things one after another. So I think it's all the more important that those of us who can speak start doing it. And particularly the Dean thing makes it all the more important. What John Dean is doing, Mr. President, is an age-old gambit, but he is holding out all sorts of wild things in an effort to win himself either immunity or a deal. And the prosecutors, I know, because we have been working with them very cooperatively. The prosecutors, a couple of weeks ago, told us they felt he had them over a barrel. And the more that he continued to put public pressure on him, the more that he
Well, you see, what happened to him, Chuck, was that he expected that lockbox was going to get it for him. And then that exploded when he found, he didn't know. I don't think he knew that order had ever been carried into effect,
That's right.
Don't you think that's
right.
That was a great disappointment to him. But he really thought that was going to do it, don't you think?
Yep, I think he thought that was that would be enough to make everybody jump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we knocked that out of the box, so that's that.
Well, today's thing doesn't bother me, Mr. President, because
Well, they play it big, but the papers do apparently. But I just can't be bothered about that. But
no, you can't.
They've been. But it's really shocking, and our day will come, though, Chuck. Believe me, the Times and the Post not to mention the network, but for them just to such in a totally irresponsible way to say that here's a guy that they know is asking for immunity. And they take leaks and so forth, and they say he is prepared to testify that he saw him, and that the president was aware of something in this period. Well, now, for Christ's sakes, I mean, suppose I was aware even.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the whole point is that we I know. Nothing at all.
Well, not only that, but John Dean, of all people to believe, here was John Dean who had foreknowledge of the Watergate, which he didn't know until January. John Dean had foreknowledge of the Watergate.
He's a barn Magruder to perjury.
Sure.
He never told me that.
That's right.
He promised the defendants clemency. He never told me that.
That's right.
Here was the fellow that was, and of course it worked very closely with Gray and so forth and so on. Well, all these things, here was the fellow that was really doing it all, Chuck.
Sure.
As far as the cover-up was concerned. How the hell was he, why didn't he walk in on the 28th or 29th and say so? Why did he wait to the 21st of March?
That's right.
To come in and say, look, I think we're in a real spot here. I think that that Hunt's attorney is blackmailing us and so forth. Well, why didn't he say so earlier?
That's right.
I don't know. He never said the payments earlier were blackmail or anything, or payoff or hush money or so forth and so on. Never implied as much.
Well, that's the whole point, Mr. President.
Said the White House was clean. Kept telling me that. Kept implying that Mitchell was the one that was involved. You know what I mean? There was our problem, Chuck. You know, we went over that with him over and over. I did.
Exactly. And I remember you were saying to me many times, well, thank God this doesn't extend into the White House. John Dean is in a very hypocritical position because he has to make his case, to make his bargain for immunity. He has got to put himself in the position where he has to try to lay as much off on you as he can. And the problem with doing that is that he was a participant full of knowledge, which he could have imparted to you at any time for 10 months and did not. And not only did not to you, did not to me, I don't know what he did to anyone else, but
he didn't to anybody else.
But my God, there's a man who has put himself in
there. You talked to him a lot, Chuck. He never told you any of this stuff, did he?
Oh my God, just the reverse.
Yeah. Well, he never always saying the White House is not involved, and what do we do to help ourselves, and how do we protect,
Sure, let's keep it out of here.
You remember, they used the term, let's pull the wagons up around the White House and all that sort of thing.
That's exactly right. And every conversation I've had with you, although a couple of times I got little glimmers of evidence, and I've already told the U.S. Attorney this, I'd get little things that might indicate a problem, and I would send them to Dean, and he would tell me, forget it, don't do anything with that. So,
was that right?
Yes, sir. So he really was actively suppressing, and of course, in hindsight, I realize now that I should have raised more ruckus than I did. This was, of course, towards the end of last year. We had you had a rather major, all-consuming problem. And
no, I couldn't pay any attention to all this. Never.
So that's another point, frankly, that I'd like to make publicly is that, I know how consuming it was for you to handle the Vietnam thing, the month of October.
November and December.
November and December, Mike.
And January. And January, all through those 3 or 4 months.
That's right. You couldn't, you had no way that you could be sitting around having strategy sessions with people on how you cover up the damn Watergate. It's preposterous.
Shit, I didn't.
Utterly preposterous. And even to have people express suspicions to you is doesn't.
Well, they didn't do it.
No, it doesn't do a damn thing. Well, I'm talking about even in the case of Mitchell.
Huh?
Even in the case of Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Some of us who might have said, well,
yeah, no.
We think Mitchell must be involved. Well, he took a very proper position. Well, he's entitled to his rights. Innocent person. I just think that the Post and the Times and the networks have been just thoroughly irresponsible in playing up, and this needs to be said, in playing up hearsay and innuendo. The reason that I think I'll do the Times is that it's a way to cut the Post.
Yep. Yeah.
They've been the worst.
By far.
To an order of magnitude of 10 to 1, they've just...
Yep.
They've run with absolutely nothing. That first story last Monday where they said that you might be called before a grand jury, that was made up.
Was it?
There wasn't a single quote in that story. In other words, there were quotes in that story, but no quote to that effect. In other words, there were quotes to other things. They just decided that was the day they wanted to blast out a banner headline that you might be, Tuesday, I guess it was, you might be called before the grand jury, which of course is utterly ridiculous. But that's the way they have handled it. I hope the hell we get our day back at them because they...
Yeah, well, we will. Well, I just laying the bushes.
One way or another, we had the...
And, you know, we had, and people were getting a little sick of the hearings, and I think they rather thought they needed a little pickup. What do you think?
Exactly right. And I think they also felt that they were beginning to be subject to a lot of public criticism for not coming directly to the issues. Plus the fact they're on a week, they're on this kind of a weekly news cycle. You know, they haven't had anything for a week that's really been very explosive.
Yeah.
So they're working on the tidbit theory. Bring up a little one now, bring up a little one. It's the steady erosion, you know, that goes on.
Yeah.
When they lay this stuff out piece by piece, that's the objection to the urban hearings. That's the objection to the to the way the reporting has been right from the beginning. And, of course, when they run something that's disproven, that denial never catches up. So they create a cumulative impact. That's what, I think they picked this one right now because they did have a bad week last week.
They had a bad week.
Yeah, very bad week. In my opinion, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to change it, Mr. President. I think that Dean is not considered that close. I can honestly say that in all the hours that I sat in your office, I never saw Dean come in once.
Hell no.
Well,
let me. We know we've got the figures on that, and that's what kills him. Is that Dean saw me before February the 27th. He saw me only twice. Once 5 minutes when we signed the will, and then on the 15th of October, September, when he came in to report on the fact that they had indicted the seven burglars. That was all. That was the only time. We never had another conversation. I never saw him once.
Right. Well, of course, you have to keep in mind also that his own credibility has been badly impaired in a number of ways.
How?
Well, you remember Pat Gray said that he lied in one of the FBI interviews.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, he did, but that doesn't alter the fact that the public...
Yeah, and then I defended him, I remember.
Well, he didn't lie, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But it was a damaging shot to the Jack Anderson column, which got very extensive publicity, that John Dean had been fired out of his former law firm because of...
Shady practices, yeah.
Unethical practice. Most of the press that has been written about Dean is that he's sort of a nice-looking young playboy, immature, and...
The point that Ziegler makes, I think, is pretty good, is the command is, I don't think that the thing to do is to make Dean, however, a target at this point. The point being that not because of how he will react, but because the libs then might seize upon him as their hero. You know?
Oh, God, that's right.
See, they might say, you know, just like they seized on McCord.
That's right.
And now they might want to say, now, Dean is the only man in all this gaggle of this has the courage to tell the truth, and they build him up like hell.
Of course, Ron is absolutely right on that. At this point in time, we don't want to let them build anybody up, and they can't. That's the bottom line of that is that they can't do it.
You don't think so?
No.
You can't build Dean up?
Oh, hell no. I can cut him down, cut him to pieces. And, evidence that, I mean, it's apparent to me now, from what I know, it wasn't at the time that he was suppressing information. Oh, hell no. See, that's McCord's problem. They had McCord built up beautifully for a couple of days until
the balls
came along and just cut the ground out from under him on his motives. And that's just what people suspect, you know.
The way to cut Dean down is to cut him down on the fact that he said this in order to get immunity, isn't that it?
He said, what's it?
That he said what he is. You see, he's making wild charges in order to get immunity.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
And then why did he wait 10 months?
Yeah, and if the man really wants to see justice done, why doesn't he just come forward and tell his own story? Stop trying to play games where he... if he really thinks he has something important to say, come say it.
Right.
There are those who are not... can't be self-righteous about it, but there are those who are perfectly prepared to lay out the facts and
take the consequences.
Let it be judged openly.
That's right. Whatever they are. That's right. That's right.
I don't intend to, when I do these this week, I really don't intend to take anyone on.
That's smart.
I think it's important, however, that the principal trust be from someone who was in daily contact with you.
Yeah.
To be able to say, I had the kind of a relationship. partnership where if the man had known anything, he would have told me. In fact, quite the contrary was the case. In any discussions that we ever had, it was perfectly obvious to me that he knew nothing of the Watergate in advance and knew nothing of the activities that had subsequently been reported. Absolutely clear.
And once he found, got into it, he was totally, his only interest was in getting to the bottom of it.
That's right. That's right.
Now, covering it up.
That on the 21st of March.
Covering it.
And that, well, that can be hit.
Well, anyway, I wish you well.
Well, don't, I wouldn't worry about this Dean story, because he is the one fellow who will...
Well, they're when I say worry about it, we have to fight him every day, you see, because you can't allow the stuff to build up, but both the Times and the Post, I don't read the goddamn things, but Ziegler gives me a real report on it, and they both give it a big play today.
Well, we'll...
Shocking thing.
We'll knock that down on the question. I mean, not knock him, but knock down the motives of that.
Right.
I really think, Mr. President, it is a reflection of the fact that they realize they had a pretty poor week.
You think it might be there, huh?
Yep, I do.
Really do. Because they're running this one now.